Welcome to Mad Lit Musings, a podcast with Jamie Jo Wright, where we go deeper and ask the tough and dangerous questions. Today's episode is sponsored by Revell and Bethany House Publishers, which are divisions of Baker Publishing Group. Find out more at bakerpublishinggroup.com. Hello, everyone. It is Jamie Jo Wright here at Mad Lit Musings, and today we have Melody Carlson with us. Hello, Melody.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us. I know you've been out and about camping and doing some fun stuff, so it's great to have you drop by and take some time to chat about your latest release.
Yeah, and we get to come home and have a shower and then go back to camping.
See, that's the perfect kind of camping, because I've done that kind of camping where you're way out in the wilderness and all you have is rivers and streams, and I'm too old for it now, I've decided.
Well, we have a tiny bathroom, but it's really tiny. Yeah. Our tanks are almost full, so it's like, do it here. Yeah.
Time to come home. Sounds like a plan. And then bonus, we get to talk to you. So that's great too.
Exactly.
Now you have a book that just released, which is perfect because everybody's getting in that mood for Christmas reads. It's called A Royal Christmas. Tell us a little bit about this one.
Well, it's a royal Christmas. our protagonist is a college student. She's in law school. She's about to finish. She's pretty serious gal. She was raised by a single mom, and her mom has passed away, and she's kind of used to being on her own and strong, and works at the coffee shop to pay for things. And she gets this letter that looks like it's from some small principality over in near Hungary and Austria, and claiming that she might be related to royalty. Of course, she thinks it's a scam, because why wouldn't you?
Right.
And yeah, but then they do send her money and tickets and all of that. So she thinks, and her friend encourages her, go, try it, see what happens. You need a vacation.
Yeah, right.
So she goes. Yeah.
That's awesome. It's
just this amazing fairy tale town and a beautiful palace, and it all looks just wonderful. Of course, beneath the surface, there are things going on that she'll find out about. But yeah, it's... Okay. Yeah, it was fun putting it together, because of course it's not a real country, and
you get to kind of make up your own fun as you go along, your own laws, your own royal credence,
kingdom and king, and
I love that. That seems to be something that people are really drawn to around the holidays, also kind of that fairy tale-ish but set in a contemporary setting, romance.
Yeah, and it was actually, I'm not sure, over 20. Christmas novellas.
Right.
And the editors asked, could you do one about a royal Christmas? And I was like, I don't know, because I didn't really want it to be like a Hallmark movie exactly. Right. And I've only seen a couple of those, and they're never my favorites, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So I thought, but then I started playing with it, and I just thought, this will just have my spin on it, So, and it was fun. It was actually fun.
That's good. Yeah. So if somebody were to ask you, how is your book different from like more of the Hallmark royal Christmases, do you know how to describe it, or is that tough?
That's a good question. Okay. Well, probably there's maybe a few more elements in it, because I'm not judging Hallmark
not at all. But we love Hallmark.
Yes, I know. But it has maybe, well, I know for a fact, because I've done a Hallmark movie, that it has a little more edginess than they like to have it. Of course, everything's changed, but it used to be they didn't like death or divorce or just, certain things. Mm-hmm. And so I probably broke those rules. Mm-hmm. But and her mother, you find out quite soon, that she was an unwed mother. That probably doesn't fly too well for them either. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And but there are reasons behind it.
Okay.
And poor Adelaide, our main gal, she doesn't really know, because her mother was very private about it. And the reason her mother was private was because she was related to royalty. Well, I don't know if her mother really knew. Her mother did know. I'm sorry. It's like, I wrote this book a while back.
That's okay. No problem. That happens. But they run together.
I know. So she's trying to protect and save her little girl, because she probably kind of has a fear that, the kingdom might come trying to snatch her back, mm-hmm. and And that's kind of like all she has. And then, yeah, and the, like I said, the mother dies a few years before the book is set. So, yeah.
Okay.
And then when she gets there to the kingdom, there's something going on. There's a mystery going on. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if, you know, that's typically in a Hallmark royal movie. But
right.
The queen isn't real nice. The king is possibly dying. There's a missing uncle who would be heir to the throne, which is the reason that they got desperate to contact Adelaide, because then she would be the next heir to the throne.
Wow.
And yeah, so, and they found her through a DNA search. And of course,
right.
And she had registered because she was curious about what her roots were after her mom passed away, mm-hmm. which put her in the thick of things. And
Right. Isn't it interesting as writers now what we have to try and work around to build mysteries? Because like what, 15 years ago, we wouldn't have had to try to answer the question, well, what about DNA? They would have figured it out and your story's blown.
Exactly. And well, and I even kind of had an answer for that because she had wanted her mother to do DNA testing, but her mother would always say, no, don't, mm-hmm. you know. So she kind of even felt a little disloyal, you know, when she did it.
Yeah, I suppose she probably did. And then, then you have that fear when you register with the DNA bank, like, what's coming out from my family history? Dun, dun, dun.
I know. Well, and see, I was raised by a single mom.
Okay.
And an early childhood divorce and a totally absent father who was adopted at birth.
Oh, wow.
So I had a total complete blank slate myself. So that probably sort of seeps into, you know, story in a way.
Well, because you have all those unanswered questions just from your own birth, and then you add your birth father into that and his unanswered questions, having him being adopted, and it just balloons out from there. That's interesting. So she finds out she's, you know, basically next in line. Are they in the story suspicious of her for the uncle's disappearance, since she'd sort of benefit from it?
No, not really. Okay. That doesn't really come up, but the queen, who married the king later in life and had a son already, mm-hmm. the son, of course, the queen assumed he would be heir next in line, which actually casts a little suspicion on her.
Aha, yes.
Because why is the brother missing? And,
right.
And, yeah. And a lot of people know she's not the nicest person.
Yeah.
So there's a little something there. And then, yeah.
Well, that's perfect too, because in every royal family, you have that struggle between who deserves the throne, and there's some that are undermining, and there's so many politics in any royal story.
There really is. And with this, because the king has been ailing for a while, he's kind of lost a little power control.
Okay.
And there's some sort of crooked, you know, leaders that are there that are sort of align themselves with the queen, who maybe don't have the country's best interests at heart, whereas the king, you know, being born into it and all of that, probably he grew into it. We'll say he was a reluctant king because, and I don't think this is giving away too much, he really wanted to marry Adelaide's mother.
Mm-hmm.
But, and you find this out fairly early on, that because Adelaide's mother wasn't royalty, the king and the queen at the time were like, it's not good enough. And so he had his wild years, which is exactly why they did the DNA search, because they thought, well, he's had these wild years. But Adelaide's mother did get to visit the kingdom because they were engaged and they were going to be married. And the parents said, nope, no way.
Nope. Oh, thwarted love. That's so sad. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, well, so is there another romance? Do we get to like redeem romance with Adelaide's story?
Oh, of course.
Okay. You know,
we got to have happy.
Yeah, we got to have a little HEA, right?
Yes. So, the guy that's kind of helping her, her guide, who speaks really great English because his mother was from England, and he Anton. And of course, he's wonderful. He's not just good looking. He's got a really sweet heart, and he cares about the country, and he particularly cares about the province that he represents. And they're one of the less fortunate provinces. I think there's four or five in this little tiny municipality. And so he's, and of course, he's smitten by Adelaide.
Yeah.
But he's really good at, you know, hiding that. And we get all the fairy tale elements too, because of course the king, just when she comes, you know, he's just over the moon for his daughter, and she gets, you know, royal wardrobe shopping. And so there's some Hallmarky things there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, you have to kind of play up a little bit of the lost princess element. I mean, if you've got that story to work with, you got to have the dresses and the glitz and the glamour.
Yes. Which becomes like the queen is not too happy when he gives her, you know, like his mother's sable coat and her some jewelry from his side of the family, you know, that was his to do with as he pleased. And
and she's getting family heirlooms that the queen is not very happy with. Dun, dun. Ooh, this is good. I like this. It's again, no slam against Hallmark, but it sounds better.
Well, thanks.
You're welcome. I was like having a little bit of extra something to chew on when I'm reading a romance story. And it's always nice when you have a little bit more of a plot or a mystery, even if it's not super suspenseful, just something else going on to push that thought forward and that relationship forward. So,
yeah, like where's the missing uncle, you know?
Yeah.
And that becomes a big part of the story too.
But okay. Well, I was going to ask you that, but I figured that'd be a spoiler. So you can't tell us where. Oh, no exposés on where the missing uncle is, but he's probably going to show up, I'm guessing, or else you really take a twist and you don't have to answer this, but you go into like romantic suspense and he's dead.
You know, honestly, when I was writing it, I didn't know if he was going to show up again.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
So now we are really confused. Like we really don't know now. So
yeah. Because they assumed he was dead because he'd gone on a hunting fishing trip. And
oh, sure. Yeah. Accidents happen.
Whether
purposeful or not. Oh, yep. Now I'm really intrigued. This is good. I love it when authors say that they weren't sure what was going to happen, because then you know that there's really an element of surprise in the story, because if an author's surprised, then you know the reader will be too. So that's awesome. Okay, so what do you think it is about like Christmas stories? Why do people gravitate to so many Christmas stories? Like Hallmark starts showing theirs in October, and I had never noticed it except this year, which is probably me just not paying attention, but I didn't realize that the majority of Christmas book releases start like September.
Yeah, it didn't used to be that way. I mean, I think they realized that that fall market was good for it. And, you know, Hallmark starts showing Christmas movies in July.
I know. They do the whole month, like Christmas in July thing, don't they?
Yeah. That's just a twist on summer.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, it's like we want to feel good at the holiday time. And a little Christmas story kind of puts us in that sort of a place. And, you know, when I did my first one, really, it was like, it was probably 23 years ago. I can't remember how long ago it was. It was about 2000.
Yeah.
But there weren't hardly any on the market. In fact, the publisher was a little bit like, how do we position this? When do we release this? And so it was kind of tricky. And it was one of those could be one and done deal thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like the people got it. And so then it's like, okay, let's do another, you know.
Yeah, it started becoming a thing.
And it became more and more thing. Now that the market is really crowded,
right,
which is interesting, but people are eating them up. So, you know, I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've worked with people in the past who literally keep their Christmas decorations up year round. Like that's just their thing. And I'm like, oh my, but you know, hey, they like it. That's okay.
Yep.
That's funny. Were you one of the first Christian authors then to start writing Christmas stories within the industry?
I might have been. I might have been the first. Well, because I remember it was almost like market confusion. Like, what do we do with this?
Right.
And where put it and
yeah. And how do you market it when you don't know where to put it and there's not really a place on the shelf for Christmas?
Yeah.
Fiction?
When do you read? And,
Right, exactly. And you know, it'd be interesting to remember, I don't know if you do, when they released your first one, because I think if it was new to me as publisher, I'd be like, oh, we'll release it at Christmas.
Yeah. And it was, you know, I think it was sort of close. It was probably November or something.
Okay.
I can't remember. It just felt like they kept getting earlier, and then it was October.
Yeah.
the last, I don't know how many years it's been, September, mm-hmm. which catches me by surprise, but
right.
They're out there.
I know. I wonder if they'll start a whole new trend soon in the industry, the Christmas in July trend, where they start releasing Christmas novels or novellas in April so that we have something in July so that we can release them in September so we have something in December.
Just read them year round. It's okay.
There you go. Yeah. I love it. Now, just for readers who are listening, you do write other books too. You're not just a Christmas author. So we should probably highlight some of that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Over the years, I quit counting when I hit 250.
Oh my.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But as I get older, as we do, I am only doing about, I think it's about 3 books a year now.
Okay. That's still
the other. Yeah. And then I've actually put some screenplays in there too. Although, yeah, I haven't done one. I don't think I've done one this. No, I did do one this year. Never mind.
Okay.
But anyway, the next one that I'm about to start will be a spring of 2025 book. Okay. And I have spring of 2024. I've had kind of the spring summer mm-hmm. novel for the last few years, and it's a bigger book.
Yeah. And okay. That's great. And that genre that you typically write in when it's not Christmas is that?
Well, it's a mixture. I mean, I keep getting pegged as like romance, but I'm not really because they're typical like that. So they're sort of contemporary, but they're not like the last few years they haven't been real serious because I've been wanting to be a little more lighthearted in mm-hmm. my own life mm-hmm. too.
Yeah.
So like the one that's coming out is called Just for the Summer. And it's a couple of gals that switch jobs in the hospitality industry. One is a fishing lodge and one is in a shishi boutique hotel in Seattle. And they trade places. And it, of course, gets interesting. And of course, there's a little romance too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of that fun, almost like, yeah, it's not really women's fiction either because it's not super I don't want to say mm-hmm. depressing, but it's not tackling heavy issues. It's more like that lighthearted, heartwarming women's read.
Yeah. What do you call that?
Heartwarming women's read.
Yeah. There you go.
There we go.
Yeah. And like the one I'm going to start is going to have like a slice of life of my life in it.
Okay.
So it's going to tackle sort of a hard issue, but in a lighthearted way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. We need more books like that out there. I think people are getting, as I talk, because I'm the author of Dark. But I mean, we need like lighter stories too.
Well, I used to be the author of Dark. I mean, they like the Queen of Darkness, and I actually did one book that was called something beyond the shadow. I don't remember Darkness.
Yeah.
And like my family members couldn't even read it. They were like, this is just too dark.
Oh, funny. I'll have to look that one up. That sounds like it's right up my alley.
Well, it's about OCD. I did a lot of mental health issues and mm-hmm. drugs and alcohol mm-hmm. and just all of those kinds of things. So
And it shows that, I mean, there's different types of fiction that are needed for people at different places in their life and at different points of what they're ready and needing to read. So I love that you kind of have hit a lot of it yourself.
I think I just got worn out on it though, personally. Yeah. And mm-hmm. I just needed to do some happy books, and it was it was before COVID. Oh, it was like when we hit our last sort of recession. I think we need to cheer up a little bit, you know, and
that's good. And so now we get to go to a kingdom with red and green and tinsel and sparkles and a missing uncle and an evil queen and all the great elements.
Yeah.
A little bit of romance. That sounds great. All right. Well, if readers want to find out about you and your 250 plus books, so there's quite a backlist if they love your writing, that they can be reading you for quite a long time.
Quite a while.
That would be great because I love authors like that because you could just live in their world. So how do they find out more about you?
Well, my website, which always needs updating, is just melodycarlson.com.
Okay.
And I'm on Facebook, which I have an author page that I try to dump things on too much. I'm not really great at social networking. Okay. And I also invite people to email me, and they do, and I get to my email about every other month maybe.
Yeah.
But it's just melodycarlsonbooks@gmail.com.
Awesome.
And I love hearing from readers, but yeah, that if you just Google, you'll find
her. She's got 250 plus books, so she's out there, people. Just Google.
Yeah. And a couple of movies and some more coming.
Awesome. That's exciting. That's so exciting. Well, I appreciate you taking time out of camping to be on the podcast
and get a shower.
And get a shower. That's always a plus. And then I appreciate the fact that you're putting out good Christmas fiction for people so that we have something to read when the TV goes off and we're sitting by the crackling fire.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
I know. Now I want to do that.
Candle burning, little cocoa or something. Yep.
Cinnamon in the air. I love doing that with my essential oils. Like they have nothing to do with health and everything to do with smell. It's like, ooh, cloves.
Well, and I think smell has a lot to do with health too.
Probably does.
Why do I need a shower?
All right. Well, we will let you go. And I really appreciate you being here today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Today's episode is sponsored by Revell and Bethany House Publishers, which are divisions of Baker Publishing Group. Find out more at bakerpublishinggroup.com. Thank you for listening to Mad Lit Musings. You can find out more information about Mad Lit and all that it has to offer at madlitmentoring.com. That's madlitmentoring.com. Or check out more about Jamie Jo Wright at jamiewrightbooks.com.